The Rebel Capitalist Show.
Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
Solve a debate between my good buddy Gio and I. My buddy is convinced that you are a shill. This is great. I you know who really gets a kick out of these is my sister. I don't know why she, whenever I text my sister, because I've been getting this since I started the YouTube channel. And I don't get it more recently. I know that the more kind of, I don't know if you want to say well-known or whatever, I become, the less I actually get this. Or maybe I just don't see it because I can't see every comment or question or anything other than in Rebel Capitalist Pro. I'm saying in the public videos and whatnot. But when I first started to get these, you know, because I was very new to this, and it was, I was like shocked, and it was very amusing to me. And I thought it was hilarious. And I text my sister like snapshots of when people would say that I was like a shill for some government agency or Soros or the Koch brothers or something like that. And she would just get such a kick out of it. So if you don't mind, I might share your comment with her. Okay, but let me keep going here. He claims that you are a plant, ooh, by the financial elite, such as the Fed. Okay, that's out there, and or the CIA for some other means to an end. I think the Fed would have planted someone that doesn't go around wearing an "in the Fed" hat, but I don't. Maybe it's like reverse psychology. Maybe that's his angle. He says there's no way you go from 0 to 40,000 YouTube views in 6 months, while all of a sudden interviewing top minds that shape public financial opinion. He says your newfound fame and influence in these circles is a frame and set up job, and you are playing the part, okay? He thinks the rate and depth of your content you consistently create are with the help of serious, massive outside financial backing, okay? He's so charmed by you that he thinks there must be something wrong. I'm convinced you are genuinely growing this channel, creating content for yourself, have the means and the resources and the team to do so, and have earned this platform and growth by creating fantastic content. Your end game is to help educate people without nefarious intent, and your intentions are generally good. Can you explain to your friend what is really going on? Okay, let me, I don't want to, it's a fun question, and I appreciate you asking it. It kind of, obviously you can see, I get a kick out of it for sure. And my sister's really going to love it. But so I don't know how to answer this question. Let me just tell you a quick backstory of how we got to where we are. And you can decide, or your buddy can decide on his own, whether I'm telling the truth or not. So when I first started this channel a little over a year ago, it wasn't about macro. Like, tell them to go look at my first few videos. They weren't about macro. They were about real estate. And I had a TV show in Medellin. It was called Vida en Remodelación. And it was on a local channel there called Telep Medellin. And I was just doing so many flips and so many properties in Medellin that, you know, because I started doing that in 2015, I thought, well, why not turn this into a TV show? Because they're so popular in the United States, so why wouldn't they be popular here? And we're doing, you know, me and my team are doing all of these projects, so why not just film it? So I went to the local TV station and I pitched them on it. And long story short, I had to kind of shoot first and ask questions later, because I had no clue how to produce a TV show. I just had to kind of like figure it out. That's a whole other story. But we did the first season, it went great, but I had all these editors and camera people that I wanted to keep employed, because as you guys know, one of the ways that I've made a lot of money in my life as an entrepreneur is by surrounding myself with really talented people, and then people that have skill sets that I don't have, and leveraging their talents to make money, right? That's what you do as an entrepreneur. And you provide an environment for them to achieve 100% of their potential. And in the interim, while they're doing that, they're making you money. It's just a win-win all the way around. You're creating these jobs. It's a It's the invisible hand, right? So anyway, I had these people and I didn't want to put them on hiatus until the second season. So that's why I started the YouTube channel. And I knew I'd been listening to online stuff with Miles and Eric Sue and Neil Patel and video creators and Tim Schmoyer with, he's with video creators and video influencers, and, you know, all these things on YouTube. I've been listening to them for like 2 years, going to the gym and just, it was an interesting concept to me, this online deal, because everything I had done as an entrepreneur was always offline. And so I knew that, okay, if I do this and if I do it well, I don't know if I'll be able to make any money, but at least I'll be able to make enough money as a little side hustle just to make my payroll. And back then my payroll was maybe like $5,000 a month, something like that. So actually, no, it was a little more than that. So maybe 5 or 6. So anyway, I when I started the channel, I'm like, listen, I'll give this a shot for a year. And I'll be super serious about it. We'll do it on the side while we're doing the TV show. I thought it'd be a little side hustle. And I know by watching these guys, if I create good content, if all my analytics are good, if my click-through rates, my retention graphs, if people really enjoy the content, then YouTube, the algorithm will pick it up and start to push it out to more and more people. And once it does that, if more and more people like it, it's going to push it to even more people. And sooner or later, if you're producing good content, that's the key, and you're consistent, you're going to get enough subscribers to where the ad revenue and, you know, affiliate marketing and whatnot, that can pay your payroll. So I said, am I willing to allocate, let's just say $75,000, if I don't make a dime, am I willing to put $75,000 up right now for the next year to sustain this, to give it a shot? And it took me about 3 seconds to make a decision. The quick answer was yes. So I said, bam, let's do it. So I funded everything up front while these videos were getting like literally 10 views, while we had 100 subscribers, 75 subscribers. And it was still costing me like between $5,000 and $7,000 a month. And I knew that would be my edge, because I knew most people didn't have the money to do that. To your friend's point, you know, most people don't have the money to do it. So it's just easy to assume that, well, no one would be willing to put up $75,000 at a long shot. But see, I never thought it was a long shot. I knew it was kind of a foregone conclusion that I'd at least be able to pay payroll, because I had a lot of confidence in my own ability. And I kind of knew how the system worked as far as the YouTube algorithm from watching all these videos over the past 2 years. So anyway, I was in a fortunate position where I had the cash. And if your buddy doesn't know, I was an entrepreneur. I retired in 2012 at the ripe old age of 38. And the reason I was able to retire is because I had enough money to live on the rest of my life if I made good investments. It's not like I had $50 million or anything like that. I still had to make some prudent investments in order not to have to go back and do something to make money. So that's how I got into investing in the first place. But I had enough money to where $75,000 wasn't going to change my lifestyle in any way, shape, or form. So it was a good bet, or so I thought. So anyway, go back to the initial YouTube videos. You'll see it's all about real estate. Then you'll see we were editing. I was doing crazy videos. The edits were all over the place. We were using bells and whistles. And I was editing it like a TV show, because that's what our experience is. And I was doing real estate vlogs and I was doing all of these things, just seeing what stuck. You know, as an entrepreneur, you're throwing 10 things up against a wall, you see what sticks. So it's exactly what I was doing with the YouTube channel. Then, like I was saying earlier, finally the whiteboard videos stuck and people really responded to them. And it sounds like you've heard the story. I had like maybe 200 subscribers after the first like 3 or 4 months of doing it.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capital's Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
And that's why most people quit YouTube, honestly, and online market and on online side hustle, because they can't stick it out, right? It's really hard to work 12 hours a day producing videos, which is what I was doing, when you're only getting 20 views per video and 15 of them are just your friends and relatives and your employees. That's a mental thing that most people can't understand. So anyway, we're getting, you know, 200 subscribers. The whole entire channel was maybe getting 200 views per day. And after whatever it was, like 3-4 months, boom, the algorithm picked it up and it was off to the races. We went from getting 200 views a day in the channel to 40,000. And this was in a matter of like 3 or 4 days. I mean, it was staggering. And I, quite frankly, when it first jumped like that, I mean, it was a Friday, I remember it. And I saw the views just going up. And I thought, I was like, what's going on here? This can't be right. And honestly, I thought what happened is, like, you know, one of those content farms, you hear about that in India, how they'll do like fake views and like fake subscribers and stuff like that. I thought that like someone in like an India content farm or something actually picked up the name George Gammon by accident. Like it was like a typo or something like that. These were all like bots or something like that, that were shooting up the views. But then I started to see all the comments come in and I'm like, wait a minute, these aren't bots. These people are asking legit questions. That's when it just took off. So now let's go, and your friend can believe that or not. I don't know if I sounded convincing there. That's just the honest truth. And if you look at my videos on the channel, I don't think I've ever deleted one. You'll see the progression and you'll see what's going on there. And actually too, in a couple of the earlier videos, I introduced my team on the videos. I introduced Thomas, Danny, Sebastian, Stephanie was working for me at the time, Catherine, who does my thumbnails. They're all Colombian. And I put them on a video where I have them introduce themselves and thank everyone for watching our videos. I'm sure that's still up. So look at those people and ask yourself if you think those people are CIA shills or shills from the Fed or something like that. I think you'll get a little bit different vibe from once you watch that and see the people who are actually behind the production of the videos in reality. So then, so the next point he has is that the people that I had that just boom, overnight, I could have people like Brent Johnson, Luke Grohman, Jeff Snyder, Juliet DeClercq, Eric Townsend, Patrick Sura, you know, all these people you see on Real Vision. Okay, so that goes back to 2018. See, before I did any of this, I was obviously a huge fan of Macro Voices. And Eric, on one of his podcast, one of his episodes, said that he was thinking about doing a live event. But he's like, well, I don't know. I mean, we don't have any experience doing it, so I don't know if it would be a good idea. So I somehow found his phone number. Or maybe I just emailed him and something like that. But I said, hey, Eric, we need to set up a call because I think if you're planning on doing a live event, I think I might be able to give you some assistance there. So I called him. I remember I was in Tucson. We talked for like 2 hours. And I said, Eric, listen, I retired in 2012. The last business I had, I was producing conventions 2 or 3 times a year that had 5,000 and 6,000 people per convention or per convention. I mean, these were military operations. If you don't understand logistics, unless you try to manage 5,000 people at a week-long conference at a hotel. And that was the one of the main businesses that I had at the time. That was the one that had over 100 employees, part-time, full-time, the one I usually reference. It was that big convention business where I put on these huge shows. So I told Eric, I said, listen, you're planning on having like 200 people. That's child's play. I could do that in my sleep. And he's like, yeah, I know, but I appreciate the offer, but we don't really have the budget for you. And I said, oh, I think you do, because my fee would be zero. I'll do it for free. And he's like, you're kidding me. I'm like, no, absolutely. I would love to do it. I'm a huge fan of the show. Consider it just gratitude for all the content you put out. And I would really love to meet these people in person. Like, who wouldn't want to meet Jeff Snyder and Brent Johnson and all these guys? I mean, and gals, I mean, Juliet DeClercq, and, you know, I mean, I was like a kid in a candy store. It's like Christmas to be able to actually meet these people in person. So I worked for, I mean, you know, that wasn't a lot of work for me because it was a small event, but I produced the entire event for Eric and for Patrick. It was Macro Voices Live in Vancouver in January of 2019, actually right before we did the TV show in Medellin. So, and I actually took my mom up there as well. I had my mom signing people in, and it was funny. So believe it or not, Eric Townsend, whenever you're listening to the podcast or whenever you're listening to Patrick, just keep in mind, they know my mom. They know Betty Gammon. That's right. But anyway, so when I started doing the Rebel Capitalist show in like maybe 6 months ago, I mean, I didn't start it that long ago. You're right. There's a big chicken or egg type thing, and that you got to have some notoriety for these people to want to do your show in the first place. But see, I knew these people from Macro Voices Live, and that just goes to show you that a lot of times working for free, hint, hint, why there should be no minimum wage. You can really network, and you can have all these amazing opportunities, and it can be such a invaluable experience long term. And so when I'd never done a show, I interviewed some people that I knew at the time, some good buddies like Uneducated Economist and Mike with Rethinking the Dollar. If you guys haven't checked out their channels, make sure you do so. And these were guys that I kind of knew from doing their shows and their live streams. So they were nice enough to come on my show. But then I reached out to guys like Brent Johnson, and I just DM'd him on Twitter and said, hey, Brent, you probably don't remember me, but I helped Eric produce Macro Voices Live, and I just started this YouTube channel, and I'm trying to do a show, so I'd love to interview you. And so he DMs me back, and he's like, yeah, George, I remember who you are. Yeah, no problem. Let's set it up. Let's do it. So I had an interview with Brent, and then after the interview, I'm like, man, do you think there's any way that Luke might want to come on and do it? You know, Luke Groman. And he's like, yeah, sure. He's like, let me go ahead and do an e-intro. So he emailed Luke and CC'd me. And so then I pitched Luke on coming on. Luke was nice enough to come on the show. And then I reached out to Jeff Snyder the same way. I'm like, Jeff, I don't know if you remember me from Macro Voices Live. Same thing. Oh, yeah, George, I remember you. Yeah, it was a great event. Thanks. I love meeting your mom and blah, 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 blah. And so that's how I got Jeff. Same thing with Juliet. Juliet took a while because, you know, we had this old COVID thing. But when I DM'd Juliet, well, we had gone back and forth on Twitter before. But, you know, I told Juliet, I'm like, Juliet, you were my mom's favorite, you know, speaker. And she couldn't understand everything because of your accent. But, oh, my mom really loved what you were saying. So, you know, I was joking around. I said, so, Juliet, you know, obviously I want my mom's favorite macro thinker to come on the Rebel Capitalist show. And of course, she texts me back and says, well, how can I deny your mom, or, you know, something like that, back and forth. So so it just parlays from there. And then once you get all these guys to do the show and gals, and then you go to other people, and then the views go up, and then you go to the Rick Rules, and you go to the Doug Casey's, and you go to the Jim Rogers, the Peter Schiff's, all these other people. And if you're throwing out good content, the views go up, and then you just use that to pitch more and more people. And then it compounds. And that's how I did it. So, I mean, I probably think that's a little bit more of a realistic probability than me being backed by the Fed and the CIA, but I'll let you make your own decisions on that.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com, or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.